Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Hello and welcome. We're continuing on this endless series of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the whole reality of how the Lord wants us to walk in divine power, which is given for evangelization. This is Lavinia Spirito together with Mary Lou Nemechek. Now, you know, if you've listened to anything that we've been saying here for the past month and a half, you will know that we continue to repeat that when we seek divine power, when we seek to exercise the spiritual gifts, we want to do it not for our own sake, but for the sake of others. That the divine power and the signs and wonders and the healing and deliverance and all that stuff are given, those possibilities are given to us to point to the message of the gospel. They are particularly helpful in evangelization. That's really, really important to say. Okay, we're not talking about these things so you can get a word of knowledge and wow your friends, right? Or you can, you know, pray for somebody that they're healed and then people are going to think that you're cool. That's not the point. The point is that as Christians, as Catholics, our whole spiritual patrimony, it involves both the sanctifying gifts given to us at baptism, gifts for us to grow in holiness, and also the spiritual gifts or charisms, which are given to us so that we can build up the body, help those around us. So that's kind of where we're coming from. Now, in case you are worried, let's say you're out there and you're like, oh, what is this? Is this woo-woo? Is this a Twilight Zone? What's going on? This is what Mary Healy says. She says, many Catholics have heard that seeking spiritual gifts is risky. Some may call to mind the warning of the saints and spiritual writers to be wary of supernatural manifestations, since such manifestations might lead to pride, or we might be deceived by the devil, or we might begin to focus on experiences of God instead of God himself. And that's, you know, the warning of the mystics, for instance, John of the Cross, etc. So these warnings contribute to a sense among Catholics that pursuing spiritual gifts is not quite safe. You know, and you and I know people like that, right?
Just exactly.
It's not for us. It's for, you know,
for
the
them.
Pros. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a vast difference, however, between a caution against the misuse of God's gifts and an outright rejection of those gifts. And she quotes our dear friend Ralph Martin, Dr. Ralph Martin, who has written and taught extensively on the spiritual masters of the Catholic tradition. And he points out that it's a mistake to think that St. John rejects the spiritual gifts. And this is a quotation from the writing of Dr. Ralph Martin. St. John the Cross is motivated not by a desire to squelch the charismatic gifts of the Spirit, but to assure their authentic exercise. Does John of the Cross condemn the exercise of the charismatic gifts? No, he does not. On the contrary, he gives much helpful advice about how they should be exercised so that they effectively accomplish the purpose for which God gives them. So that's important.
Well, you know, in Damian Stain's book, Lord, Renew Your Wonders, when he's talking about that, he says the misconception that spiritual gifts are only granted to mature Christians has two effects. First, it makes ordinary people think they are naturally disqualified because they are not holy enough. And then secondly, people regard the possibility that others can use spiritual gifts because they regard them as not holy enough either.
That's right.
I mean, it creates a deep pit for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Exactly. So John of the Cross, in fact, reaffirms biblical teaching that God gives these gifts so that they may be used for the good of others. He describes two kinds of benefits of the gifts. The temporal benefit of yielding to the gifts includes healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind, raising the dead, expelling devils, prophesying the future, so people and other similar things. So that's the temporal benefit, meaning the benefit of the here and now. You get healed, which is not a bad thing. The spiritual benefit is the knowledge and love of God caused by these works, either in those who perform them or in those in whom or before whom they are accomplished. Meaning, it builds everybody's faith. That's what Randy Clark would say. Would say that when you see them at work, it builds your faith because you say, whoa, God is in the house. I don't have to try so hard. I am just a vehicle. I'm just a vessel. I'm just to be faithful. But it is God who does the healing. And that is a huge burden, I think, for people who pray for the sick and they take it personally when they're not healed. Or pray for things to change in a certain way and then they don't happen. You have to pray, but then you have to understand that everything comes from God and everything is grace. And that there is a mystery, and sometimes people are healed and some other people are not. And that's a mystery. Sometimes a faithful person who has just lived sacrificially and is a wonderful Christian and Catholic comes down with something and no prayer works. Or, that's the way we would look at it. But in fact, all prayer works, obviously. But that person isn't healed and they die. And then you see perhaps somebody who has been living out a sinful lifestyle, who perhaps hasn't even repented and is healed on the spot of things. And so you say, well, wait a minute, is that fair? But what we need to figure out is that God's grace and God's plan are not our plan. Like God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my plans are not your plans. So as long as we understand that they're not our, it's not our healing, it's not our word of knowledge, but it's the Lord's who is using us as a willing participant to heal, to reveal, to encourage. I think that's a very important point, I think, that needs to be pointed out, right?
Right.
Our deepest concern must be whether people we minister are being converted to Christ. So that's the point. And again, I keep going back. Remember that documentary, Fearless, that we saw? Mm-hmm. That I also would recommend you. I think it's fearless.net, and you can either purchase it online or get the DVD. And it's a documentary of a healing service, a healing mass, and then other, like Patrick Rice up in Columbus and others, yielding to words of knowledge and actually acting on them. I'm thinking about Patrick Rice and his friend having these words of knowledge and going to the student union at, I think it's Ohio State, and they go to the student union and they just go up to students in the student union, right? And one of them says, they go up to this young girl who's obviously in college, who may be a freshman or a sophomore, and she's very kind of like, who the heck are you all? And you all are weird. And they say, can we just talk to you for a second? Okay. And then as they're talking, one of them gets a word of knowledge for her. And they say to her, they say, look, we've been praying while we've been talking to you. And somehow this word volleyball keeps coming up. Does that mean anything to you? And the girl just goes to pieces, from cheerful, kind of disengaged, gum-chomping co-ed, she goes to a blubbering mess, just based on that word. Because obviously there had been something in her past that had happened when she was in a volleyball team, and that whole world connoted to her an area in which she needed prayer, in an area of woundedness, right?
Right.
And so they were able to pray with her. She was so much more open to being prayed into, hearing about the message of the kingdom, because they had that one word of knowledge. And that is, I firmly submit, that's kind of what it's going to take for our world. Because we have a lot of people who just will take nothing, but they won't listen to a lot of talk. They want, their walls of resistance are broken down by words of revelation like that. What do you think?
Well, I think you're entirely correct. And being at, I've been at a healing service with Father Thielen, and you know, it takes a lot of trust in God to get up at the beginning and to say some things of, I feel as though there's someone that may have, migraine headaches or a vertebrae problem or something like that, you know, and then trusting that that person is there and will come forward for prayer and for possible healing. I mean, you have to, we all have to be encouraged that when we have those senses to act on it and not be fearful. And you're not going to be 100% correct each and every time. But the benefits of that risk outnumber the fear that you should have, because if a healing happens, what can be better than that?
That's you right.
Know? I mean, why the timidity? Because the roots of healing goes back to the Acts of the Apostles. It's as you said in the previous show, it's a normal facet of our faith. And it should be exercised more and more. And I think that with all these books coming out and having seen Bennett Randy Clark's talk a couple weeks ago, it just seems as though, you know, God always provides what we need when we need it. And it just seems to me that there's a stirring up going on in many, many areas for these gifts to be exercised and for people to be encouraged to do this. And I think that none of this is coincidental, because there's a lot of pain and hurting in the world today. And I think that the social media that these young kids and these young boys in particular, because they feel isolated and so on and so forth, that sometimes they tend to do these terrible things. Well, there's a great call for healing. There's a great call for love to go out to others. There's a great call for spreading healing to everyone, have it accessible to everyone, that everyone has net worth and everyone is loved by God. And how are we going to do this unless you're going through and exercising these charisms? They're just
That's
vital
right.
today.
I think they are. And just like the first evangelization in the first century approached a hardened world, hardened in materialism and hedonism and sort of a hard, unbelieving spirit, and it needed the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It needed the new Pentecost in order to face evangelization, in order to fuel evangelization. And today, the new evangelization is going to need the new Pentecost to fuel the new evangelization. I mean, you know, it makes so much sense to me. There's a lot of points in common, I think, between our society and the society in which Jesus and Paul and those first guys in the apostolic age faced.
You know, each divine intervention is a call to deeper conversion. So why wouldn't we want to do that? That should be our mantra each and every day, to get up in the morning and ask for more.
That's right. Ask for more. You know, what divine appointments do you have for me today? And the prayer that that we learned from Randy is more, 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 Lord, more.
And he can use little old me.
And he can use little old me. You know, and if you've read Dickens, I'm sure you have, Oliver Twist. Remember, yeah. Oliver Twist, the orphan who goes up and dares to tell the guy that he wants more porridge.
More porridge, that's right.
More, sir, more. And yes. When I think of that, I think of him. And he gets slammed down by the guy because he dares to ask for more. But so maybe that's our perception
today. That's a great visual, yeah.
Right? That today, yeah. Sort of God is like saying, what? You dare to ask for more? Well, yeah, we do. Because God is a good God, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. And there's also that passage that they both refer to, Randy Clark and Mary Healy, refer to in, I think it's both in Luke and Matthew, where God sends out the 70 disciples. And he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, preach the kingdom. And they come back and they're like, whoa, you wouldn't believe, Lord, what happened? you know, the dead were raised and demons were cast out and people, and to us, that's kind of like a nice story, but you know, it doesn't really apply to us. But really those were the 70 disciples that those weren't just the 12 apostles. So right. They represent us. That's our as well. Right. So that's a very, very important point. It needs to, but the gifts, as Mary Healy cautions, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. And that's 1 Corinthians 14:1, meaning don't pursue the gifts because you want to be cool. Okay. Don't pursue the gifts because you want to grow in power and lord it over others, or have people think that you're, you know, holy or something, or powerful. That's the wrong motivation. Matthew 7:22 says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And it's not a coincidence that the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, is sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians 12, which speaks about the spiritual gifts, and 1 Corinthians 14, which reprises a discussion on the spiritual gifts. So it's all one of a piece. We yield to the gifts, we seek the gifts, we can become informed about the gifts, we activate the gifts because we love, because we want to love more. That should be our primary motivation. I think that's a good way to look at it. There's an interesting question here answered by this book that says, how many gifts can a person have? And we've had that that question in our leaders' meeting at Catholic Way Bible Study. We have a lot of these people say, well, I have one gift. Really, should I ask for another? And the teaching is, ask for all of them. And all of the gifts are available to us. So in a certain sense, we have all the gifts. And that kind of freaks people out, right? Because they're like, what do you mean? I don't have this gift. I don't have that gift. But the idea is that God is out there saying, hey, if you want it, you have it. If you want it, if you seek after it, if you pursue it, if you pursue me, the giver of the gifts, then you have the gift. And that's kind of an unusual way.
It's a scary thing for people.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So the problem with the idea that every Christian could maybe even have only one gift is that the Bible teaches that Christians can operate in more than one gift. And that's where, you know, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, etc., speaks of gifts. So, yes, perhaps one gift has preeminence, and that's prophecy. Paul says, that you would all prophesy, right? So the idea that you would be open for God's sense, for God's mind, for God's word, for a certain person or situation. So although God gives the gifts as he wills, we can receive them through earnestly desiring them. So Paul also tells the Corinthians that he would like them for them all to speak in tongues. Well, that's perhaps a subject for another day, but there's this suspicion against supernatural gifts, and something like tongues just does not compute to the modern mind. And it just freaks a bunch of people. It just freaks a lot of people up. And I still know people who have been involved in Bible study for many years who just have put up a wall of resistance against the idea that God would use the gift of tongues for our own building up. Obviously, it's not for the building up of others, but it is for our own building up. It's the only spiritual or charism that God gives us, so that it's like a little pat on the shoulder, you know? By yielding to an unexplained prayer language, something that is not within our experience, by yielding our voice and our speaking apparatus to the Spirit of God, we are letting go of control. And we both know that that's the best way to yield to the gifts.
Absolutely.
If we're too so tightly wrapped that we can't let go enough to let the Lord work within us.
When words cannot express, that's such a relief to have that, because it isn't a lifting up. It provides great comfort.
Absolutely. So it's important to know that sometimes the gifts are meant to operate together. You know, a lot of those gifts are meant to operate together. So I think in a past show, we spoke of the synergy between words of knowledge, So the gifts of revelation, which are words of knowledge, a discernment of spirits and wisdom, they interact with the gifts of power, which are miracles and healing and faith, and the gifts of speech, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Also, so all the gifts play against each other, and there's a special relationship between words of knowledge, the gift of faith, and the gift of healing or miracles. If you, the Lord gives you a word of faith, I mean a word of knowledge, I don't know, somebody's wrist hurts, and you say, hey, does somebody wrist hurts? And they raise their hand, and then they come up for prayer. What does that do to your faith level? I know what it does to my faith level because that happened to me. I had a word of knowledge that somebody's left wrist or thumb hurt, and I said, somebody's left wrist or thumb hurts, and at the end, people came up. Three people came up and had that exact ailment, and they came to me, and we prayed, and they were 80% healed, meaning their pain decreased for 80%. And it was a very short prayer. It was all God. It was all God. But that built, having that word and having those people come up, built my faith that I'd heard from God, and then it built their faith that God had singled them out and wanted to heal them. So the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, ties into the word of faith. So it helps raise the word of faith, the gift of faith, and then those two together create a more auspicious atmosphere for the gift of healing. So that's why we shouldn't only have one gift. That's kind of a very elementary way of perceiving it, right? So there are many people who have received with an impartation of the Holy Spirit a gift or gifts that have caused them to step into a powerful new realm of the activity of the Spirit. This experience enables them to see many more words of knowledge, healing, and miracles. So in other words, the Lord can really heighten or increase the original anointing. And that's why we should never stop asking for more. So,
and honestly, you're going to want to ask for more when you go through a situation like that where you're granted a word of knowledge, you've been able to pray over people, they have received some healing. You just want to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You want more and more opportunities for this to occur.
That's right. I thought that, let me just close our show today with the example of three people who, and you can get their books. Heidi Baker, I think I've spoken about it, about her, Dr. Baker, with her husband Roland in Mozambique. Mozambique is one of the poorest nations in the world, and she's been there for 30 years as a missionary. She sought a deeper anointing in the 90s, received it, went back, and started operating at a whole new level. Before, they saw healings, but they didn't see people being raised from the dead. When she came back from the higher anointing, she started seeing people, hundreds of people, being raised from the dead. Being raised from the dead. That's like, you know, New Testament stuff, right?
Right.
She saw miracles of multiplication. She saw, you know, of course, you know, Mozambique is also a partly Muslim country, so people were shooting at them. You know, there was civil war, there was unrest, there was danger, danger, danger. And you should read her book, Compelled by Love, Heidi Baker, and just see the testimony. Pretty crazy. So he gives the example of Heidi Baker and how she yielded to many gifts. Henry Badava in the Ukraine, I don't know about him, much about him, but I do know about Leif Hetland in the Middle East. Leif Hetland received also, had been in ministry for many years. He received a higher impartation, an anointing. He asked for it. He got it. And he went to Pakistan, of all places. That would not be the first place I would want to go, okay?
No.
I'd be afraid. So far, his ministry of signs and wonders to the people in Pakistan has yielded 750,000 Muslim converts.
Wow.
And that's because if you're a Muslim, or if you're a witch doctor, or if you're like not part of any kind of Christian or Judeo-Christian faith, the thing that's going to, words aren't going to really do it very much. What's going to do it is the divine power reaching out to them and mercifully healing them or revealing things to them. And that would make sense. And that apparently has been one of the greatest ways in which the Muslim community worldwide has been used, is when people are raised from the dead in their village. And then the whole village converts. And you can read that, again, about what's happening in Mozambique and other places in Heidi Baker's book, Compelled by Love. So hopefully this whets your appetite a little bit out there. We might have more, as a matter of fact, I dare to say we will have a couple more shows on the topic. But just if you can, go look at books I remember to post a bibliography. Check out our Facebook page, Catholic Way Bible City Facebook page. I have posted several talks from the recent Encounter Ministries conference in Ann Arbor, January 2018, 10 talks to be exact. I posted a video of the interview of Dr. Mary Healy on the 700 Club, of all places. Dr. Mary Healy just slayed them on the 700 Club, which was, we know, is a Protestant show, because of her book with Randy Clark. So walls are cracking. I would dare say that they're starting to come down. Walls between the denominations, walls between what I think I can do and what God wants me to do. So let's just take all these things to art and ask the Holy Spirit to intervene in our lives and help us to yield to the spiritual gifts. Thank you for joining us.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
The Cincinnati Catholic Men's Conference is back. Tickets are on sale now for Saturday, April 28th at the Taft Theater at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. The speaker conference roster is being hailed as one of the best lineups in the country. In rare appearances, come see Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, the man motivator Father Larry Richards, former Moeller High School and University of Notre Dame head football coach Jerry Faust, and the big celebrity keynote, Baz Rutten, UFC world champion, MMA world champ, and movie star. The conference theme is What It Means to Be a True Christian Man in Today's Society. Don't miss the incredible day of motivation, spiritual benefit, and fellowship with men from all walks of life. Get tickets now at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. That's cincinnatimensconference.com or 513-214-1534. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.